listening to Wham LP New Orleans, the voice of the people on 90.3 FM and streaming on the web at WAMF.org. This is DC, brought to you by A Community Voice. Today we are talking about the high cost of living in New Orleans and financial burdens our community shares. My guests are Brandon Dorrington and Reverend Bell. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Brandon.
I had been a resident of the Ninth Ward for quite some time, off Miro and Cluett, and I had been interested in community voice matters throughout the city, concerning sewage and water board, blight, education, small business, home ownership, and infrastructure.
Great. Reverend Bell, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born and raised in New Orleans, original from the Flood Street, Lower Ninth Ward, where I was born at. From there, I was finished raising in the Desire Project. And after that, my mother moved in the Third Ward in Zion City. In 1971, when she moved there, in 1973, I graduated from George Washington Carver Senior High School. And in 75, I took my wife. And then we moved into the Seventh Ward. We stayed there 2 years. And in 1977, I moved in the Lower Ninth Ward, which that's where I stay right now. I'm still in the Lower Ninth Ward, and I'll be there for the rest of my life. I'm a resident, longtime resident. I'm a member of A Community Voice. Also, I'm a member of RSVP, City Council, the Council of Aging. I'm also in the American Legion. I'm one of the Department Vice Commanders. I believe in trying to do everything what I could do for the city. And with A Community Voice, we is a voice for the people. It's a lot of work to be done in the city, and our voice needs to be heard. The inner structure is in bad shape, neighborhoods in bad shape, streets need to be repaired. We have a bad water problem, electric bills is high, it needs to come down. Like I say, I've been here all my life, and I plan on going nowhere, and my job is to see that what I could do to bring my city forward.
Okay, Reverend Bell is a devoted resident of the Lower Ninth Ward, and Mr. Brandon Dorrington is a resident of the Upper Ninth Ward. What do you think about Sewage and Water Board cutting off thousands of people August the 1st?
Well, I think, about cutting the water off August the 1st is very hard, especially for people on fixed income. Even though I'm on a fixed income and it will be hard for me, I know it will be a lot harder for other people. And I know with a new executive director who's supposed to be taking that position of head of Sewage and Water Board on September 3rd, I think a better decision on what to do before we cut the water off and trying to help people out and maybe making payment installments or working to devise a better plan once the new executive director comes in after September 3rd, would be the best thing to do and, give some people some time. Maybe go through finding different grants on a local and state level to, work on some issues because people haven't been utilizing water as for the amount of money that they have to pay for the monthly bill. A lot of people, myself, everybody I know, 90% of people that live in New Orleans drink bottled water. Not too many people drink their water out of the faucet. Numerous of times throughout the year, there's water boil advisories. People can't use the water. They have to boil it before they use it. but you know, they're not recompensated on their monthly water bill. And I think that that should be taken into consideration before the Sewage and Water Board tries to just cut people's water off.
Do you think their usage, Reverend Bell, of water is being calculated properly?
No, I don't think so, because if you look at your water bill, it used to have an estimate. They're estimating what you use. Then the next month you might have the accurate reading. And then the next month you might have an estimate how much you're using. When you get to the point you got two accurate reading, your bill would be higher. Because when they estimate it, it's showing what they thinking you use. But when they get ready to give you an accurate reading, they're going to read for what you should have been using to what you use. So your bill going to be high. If your bill maybe 105 on the estimate for 2 months, and then when they do an accurate reading, it might jump to 250, because then they're going to add what they didn't add. Now I'm noticing my bill, they're doing actual reading. They got readers, meters out there. But until I start watching it and realize when they're doing the estimate, they just projecting what I used from the previous month. And then when I get my real bill, it's double the amount. So I'd rather somebody come read it. I even will go out there and put the numbers when I figure the week they're going to read it. Write my numbers down. And when I get my bill, I'm going to see if that number close to what I have. Because you got sometimes people might not even read it right. We're not trained to read meters. But if you watch how they reading it and take your own estimate, you could kind of see how your bill going. But I think most of the problem with the water bill so high, they were doing a lot of estimate reading. Mm-hmm. And that's why the bills went up, because when they start really reading the meter right, your bill already skyrocketed. A lot of time people will pay some of it, and the city had a bad habit that, and you got to watch it, they want to cut water off, they already send some of that to a collection agency. So now you're going to have a collection agency knocking on your mail saying this was sent to them for payment. So they'll cut your water off and already send it to a collection agency that will file your report. And so it's not fair. It's not fair. A lot of senior citizens gonna suffer. So the cutting off water needs to fix the water to benefit everybody.
Mr. Dorrington, we know that this will cause sanitation problems if they cut off the water meter. What I need to know is what other problems you think it may encounter. Is anyone in call with us?
Not only will cutting water off cause sanitation problems, I think that's the minimum that problems that it can cause. But the thing is, uncleanliness and unhealthy sanitation leads to disease, and with the heat that's going on, usually August is the hottest part of the month. It's going to cause sanitation problems, but, and I hope, heaven forbid, that it will cause people to suffer from heat strokes, from not being able to have enough water, cause people to become dehydrated.
So it will be an inhumane situation.
Yes.
If they cut this water off on August the 1st, is what you're saying. Do you think that Sewage and Water Board is doing this to prove that they need the raise that they're going to automatically get in January? Or to prove that they need an increase in rates taxed on the people? Is this? Do you think this is what they're doing?
I would. I really think this is what they're doing. I really think that, you know, it's something for the money, because, as we seen last August, on August 5th, you know, from the amount of rain that we had in that short period of time, that some parts of New Orleans flooded, and the water remained high for many, many hours, and the pumping system did not work. So for the Sewage and Water Board to put a press and stress the issue so much to get people to pay bills that aren't receiving proper service that's worth the money, and they will decide they want to cut them off because they're not paying them. It seems to me they're trying to get the money to get a raise, because the Sewage and Water Board definitely isn't taking the money that people are paying them into fixing the pumping or even making the water more sanitary or more healthy.
So you're saying that these monies that they're receiving, they're not using it to maintain their equipment?
They definitely not, because we've seen that for a fact on August 5th of last year. Mm-hmm. And numerous times of year, we have a boil water advisory. Mm-hmm. And some people say that there was a test done and they have found lead in the water.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who is the head of Sewage and Water Board? We're finding that our mayor, LaToya Cantrell, comes up with a number of things to say about her position with Sewage and Water Board. We were under the understanding that Sewage and Water Board would be controlled by our city council. So now we're at the crossroads where we don't know if it's being controlled by the city council or if it's being controlled by the mayor. We do know that we're getting a new head of Sewage and Water Board. We have one lady who is an acting head of Sewage and Water Board. So let's hear, who is the acting head of Sewage and Water Board? What is her name?
Right now, it's Ms. Jolanda. She's the interim of Sewage and Water Board until the successors come that are going to take her place. Even at interim, you shouldn't be a sitting duck. You should get the work done, because just because you interim mean that you just a fill-in. But interim or not, it's a crisis. And she should be trying to solve a lot of the situation with the community also, instead of sitting waiting for her relief to come. I think the city council and the mayor should regulate it. It should be regulated by the city council and the mayor. They should have more of an input, because when you get an outside firm that's going to control it, and the city don't have no involvement, you're going to have rate increase, constant rate increase. If it's regulated by the city, they could keep those prices down, because they know you got people suffering now. I at least hate to see the elderly already going through something, going to go through worse, because just imagine you can't flush a toilet. Mm-hmm. I mean, how you could keep that in the toilet, that's unsanitary. You take sick.
So now we have a new guy coming in who's going to be head of Sewage and Water Board. What is his name, and when will he start?
The gentleman by the name of Gaston Corbin, he had formerly been a Milwaukee Public Works Chief. Mm-hmm. And he's the gentleman who's supposed to be taking over as the new executive director, and that's supposed to take effect on September 3rd. And Corbin's annual salary is projected at $265,000. So with that being said, for him to be paid that much, he should be able to devise a good plan. He should be able to come up with a way that's cost efficient for the people, and to decrease chances of unsanitary measures taking place where people can't take baths, mm-hmm. people can't flush the toilet, and people don't have to worry about not being able to wash clothes or possibly even not cook food.
So would it be safe to say that maybe everyone should take hands off until September the 3rd?
Right.
Like the Reverend said, the interim, you know, she shouldn't just be a sitting duck just because right. she's the interim.
Right.
She if anything, you know, if the water's cut off on August 1st, it'll be because she makes that decision.
That's right.
So
she
I
had a final decision.
I think, you know, she the final decision lies with her right now. To give the recommendation to the city council or to the mayor,
right.
And I think she should, you know, have the passion and care to not see this sort of thing happen, and then she definitely should recommend and come up with some ways to give to the new executive, Mr. Corbin, so he can have some momentum going into his new job after September 3rd.
So it's safe to say that maybe we should ask for a 30-day extension.
At the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But some, you know, I would say maybe a 90-day extension,
so that everything will be in place at the time.
Everything will be in place.
Right.
Okay. Do most people, you know, have two water bills? Because the sewage and water board water is undrinkable, so then they buy bottled water or have a filter. So we're saying that our residents, they're having two water bills.
That's right.
They have two water bills because every month I have to buy several cases of bottled water. A 24-pack in some places of water is between, you know, maybe $5 to $8,
right.
And especially, you know, me being a former veteran in the Army, especially I was trained to drink a quart of water per hour in heat conditions such as this. So yeah, I may be spending $50 just on water to drink per month. And $50, you know, is pretty much what, or a little bit more, is pretty much what a monthly water bill should look like. And so on top of me, you know, paying $50 a month just for drinkable water, I got to spend, you know, another, you know, $60, $70 to $80, or sometimes $100, because sometimes my water bill goes up and I don't know why. It's not set, and sometimes I went through long periods of time without even getting the water bill. And so I'm definitely paying two water bills.
Mm-hmm. So tell me what you think the major issues confronting.
Like it was in the days, the city picked up the trash, but now it's subcontract. So they got to pay the subcontract, so that's the $24, $25 extra on your bill that, you know, and one reason I know they could do away with it, because if you pay your bill, they won't have you paying the sanitation part, and that will build up. They'll help you with the water, but when they don't pay the sanitation, that $25 counts an add on your bill, so the next month is $50, next month is $75. That's how your bill get behind, because whatever contract they got with disposable people, they need to do away with that and go back to the city garbage trucks. That will save you $25 on your bill. And then another thing too, they charge you sewage. I like to see the meter how they could charge you sewage. They go by how much water volume you use to say X amount how much sewage. But they got a water meter for the water, but there's no water meter for the sewage. So it's not fair, because if your toilet flush and the water going down, they're asking how more water you use to do the sewage. Okay? So if you're not using much water, you're still getting a sewage bill. So I just like them to find out, how can they put a meat on the sewage? Because you're going to charge me for sewage, where the meat at? You got a meter for water, but the volume of water you use, the X amount, that's how much sewage. So you ever look at your bill, your sewage and water bill are almost the same, but how can they charge you sewage and there's no meter? They're only projecting how much water you use. So that's something they could look into. Stop charging you the sewage and take the sanitation off and you just have a water bill.
What about the other utilities that's in the city that's causing hardships for the people in our community?
Yeah, Cox Cable. Cox Cable is charging on the lake, and halftime you're bringing their equipment back. Their equipment do not last. I have the internet service, which every night I cannot use my internet between 2 and 5 in the morning because they're doing maintenance. But they're not projecting my bill with a lower payment. And that's what I understand. You're going to cut the internet off between 2 and 5 for maintenance, but you're not deducting from my bill. Your cable itself, that equipment, and it's guaranteed you will bring it back for exchange within a year. And that's been going on for 30 years with Cox Cable. Their equipment not meant to last because you go out, you got to bring your box back. We need more cable services. We do have more in the area, but Cox Cable, and I've been a long time person with Cox Cable, but I got the internet and their phone, but I can't afford the cable because it's too much problem with it. I see people all the time bringing the boxes back, your lines down. So no, they need that and electrical. We need another electrical company besides energy. You got other parents got more than one electrical company. We got that one electrical company because it probably buys with somebody and tied with it. We need more electrical companies to come in and regulate cheaper rates for us, you know, and they could do it. I know they could do it. If you have to get another water company or something, get more people to compete and we could get cheaper rates. We don't have no commodities with it.
So what you're saying is that we have too many utility companies in the city of New Orleans that are monopolized.
That's right.
I notice an increase for Cox Cable that came across there too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we can get to the city council maybe and explain to them how we feel.
Right.
We need the people to show up. Come out.
Come out.
Let these people know on the days that they have the utility meetings that you're not satisfied with what's going on in the city of New Orleans.
And we don't need no paid actors to come and represent it.
No. No paid actors. Don't hog the seats.
Right.
Give our citizens a seat and let them tell the council people what they need. What is your issue that you, a community voice, to have an action to fight, to meet with elected officials to get a long-term solution? You know, what do we do now about our community?
I think we definitely
We see on WAMF LP New Orleans on 90.3 FM and streaming at WAMF.org. WAMF is an all-volunteer. I've been listening to A Community Voice on WAMF LP New Orleans on 90.3 FM and streaming at WAMF.org. WAMF is an all-volunteer, non-commercial radio station, so if you would like to volunteer to host your own show, please give us a call at 504-605-0746 or drop us a line at WAMF.org.